Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I've confessed to you over the years, and like I did earlier this morning, that Memorial Day service is, it's always just a little bit emotional for me, because we honor those who have given their lives, and we remember them, and remember history of our country, and we remember wars, and for those who currently serve, and we remember. It's about remembering, and so on that community level, those are the things that we do, and I want to continue along that theme. In a spiritual dimension, activating, of course, our mind and our emotion to go along with that. And today, so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about remembering, okay? Memorial Day, a remembering. We, of course, have a living memorial. We don't just remember Jesus and say, boy, you are a great teacher. We're so thankful because you are this marvelous and most popular historical character and person. And thank you that you gave your life for a cause. No, didn't end there. It's not a memorial. It's a living memorial because we know that he rose again from the dead. And so we remember him, what he taught, what he said, that he actually is the Son of God and resurrected after conquering sin and death and hell and holds the keys. And so we, as believers, every day as we face things in our life, we have to remember in the presence of the challenge. We have to remember the living memorial of Jesus Christ, who he was, is, and forever shall be. And so today is a remembering. It's a reminding ourselves. You're acquainted with life. You know how this works. We get our eyes, you know, we talk to the Lord, we pray, and then we start to look at what's happening around us, what we feel, fear, or the intimidation, or the frustration. We remember maybe how some things have, you know, unfolded in the past that where the outcome wasn't your favorite thing, and so you add that to your present mindset and collection, and all of a sudden these things become overwhelming. We begin to lose some spiritual fervor, and we start focusing and remembering, listen to this, there is a thing called remembering the wrong thing. I'm just going to touch based on one scripture, and then we're going to turn to Genesis. In Psalm 106, verse 12, it says, they, God's people, then they believed God's promises and sang his praise. Now catch this. But they soon forgot, say the word forgot, what he had done, and did not wait for his counsel. So when they believed, they sang his praise. That's why praise is important. One of the reasons. When they believed God, their response was they sang praise of him. But when they forgot what he had done, they started looking at the other stuff or looking at the current problem or the current culture or their current setting. They forgot, and they no longer waited for his counsel. They no longer worship because, you know, looking for God's counsel is looking for direction from him. And when he gives direction, we turn and obey it and do what he says and directs us to do. That's an ultimate act of worship, right? I admire what you have to say over what I say and think, and so I will do what you tell me to do, right? That's laying it all down and saying, you're God and not me. And so what's happening here is they were calling a time where they believed his promises. They sang his praise. They soon forgot. They no longer waited for him. And in the desert, really key, because we can talk about dry times, places that don't seem to end. In the desert, They gave in to their craving. They gave in to their craving. That's why remembering who the Lord is and what He has done in the Scripture, what He has done in other people's lives, the testimonies we hear, and what He has done in our life is so important to our spiritual fervor and the ongoing walk with God that we have. It's that remembering the living memorial. So I want you to turn to Genesis 28. Now, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you, and you can follow along if you want. In fact, if you don't have a Bible, you can take that one with you today. You can make it your own. We have more. We replenish those. That is a gift to you from the Lord. And so you take that Bible with you. But in Genesis chapter 28, we're going to look at Jacob, who went on a little journey. He goes on this journey. His dad basically says, you know, gives him some instruction. I want you to go over to, you know, some distant relative's place, and I want you to marry a woman of faith. Don't marry a Canaanite woman. So, you know, almost like if you want to paraphrase this, it's time you go get a gal, okay? You know, some of you around here who've lived here forever and for generations, you kind of talk about your history and said, yeah, my dad found my mom. He ran over the ridge, grabbed a girl, and brought her back. You know, I've heard some of you say that kind of stuff around here. So you get it. He goes on this journey, and I want us to look at this. In verse 10, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones or a rock there, put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on this ladder, this stairway. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took that stone in which he had placed under his head for the night, and he took it and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called this place El Bethel. And I will talk about that in just a moment. Through the city, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar, as a remembrance, as an Ebenezer, will be God's house, El Bethel. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Of all that you give me in my life, I will give you a tenth. So he makes this promise, and he's on this journey. And it's interesting that he is in the land of, this is a Canaan, this region is a, belongs to the Canaanites, okay, where he is traveling. And if you were to look back in history in there, and of course, Bethel has significance through many places as we look at locations and Jewish history and God's people and their history. And so there is a little bit of controversy. We like to think that Jacob named this place Bethel, okay, and if you were to look back prior to that, there's some, earlier in Genesis with Abraham, there's some scriptures that are alluded to that actually the Canaanite people may have named this spot, this area, Bethel, long before Jacob calls it this. And there's a little bit of a difference. If you look at the word Bethel, that Beth, that part, that Beth, that in Hebrew, and I'm going to pronounce this part wrong, but B-A-Y-I-T, that kind of Bet, that translates to, it becomes monos, syllabic, really, and we translate it to Beth. I know it's a really big word. My wife looked at me like, what do you read? See, a scholar without the letters after my name. And so, and that L, E-L, we don't quite grasp because our English language is different. That means God. Now, that's little g, okay? Back, you know, little g was just common, okay? For you and I, we do, oh, it's got to have a big G on it because that has to do with deity. That's God. And then every other little demonic force that is set up is little g, you know, gods, right? So, as Jacob calls this place, he calls it El Bethel, almost as if this is God's. And, oh, by the way, that word Beth has to do with a structure that provides some type of safety or a structure or a habitat. And so it translates very easily to the word we know as house. Okay, and so here you have, long before possibly Jacob was ever there, this place in Canaan was called Bethel. And the reason that this would also make some sense is the people in Canaan, we know, were Baal worshipers, right? Then they had multiple gods, but they looked to Baal as kind of their one big god, okay? And they had many gods, and all these gods, okay, they oversaw different things, like there was a god that was in charge of the grain. There was a god that was in charge of the weather. There was a god who was part of this part of nature, and there was a god of the stones and the rocks, and that's very important in this story, by the way. And so he's entering into this land where Baal is the predominant who people follow predominantly in their spiritual darkness. And so he's traveling through this area. He has a revelation of God, big G in our language. And he says, oh, this is the region of Bethel, this a house of gods, but this is where you revealed yourself to me. This place is El Bethel, or the house of God. And so he takes this rock that he laid his head upon. That always sounded real uncomfortable to me, by the way. And I've been in touch with nature recently. And he rested his head on this, and he had this dream from God, this revelation of God, and seeing this stairway of angelic hosts and the Lord himself and his voice. Okay, and these angelic hosts were coming up and down. He realized, and God speaks to him and says, I will be with you. He wakes up and takes this stone in a place where stones are worshipped by some other little god, and that's his, you know, department, rocks. Okay? That's, you know, one of the pagan gods. And he takes this stone and goes and sets it up as if to crush the other stone of pagan worship, and says, this stone shall be set up because this is the house of God, big G, El Bethel. That's this place, and I will set this stone up as a remembrance, so when I come back across here, after my journey, I will come back through here, and I will see that stone, and I will remember, and so I will make a vow today that if you will be my God and watch over me and be with me on my journey and provide for me, okay, and bring me back, you will be my God. And I will give you a tenth of everything you ever give me. And so he makes the journey and comes back through. And there is this remembrance, this stone, this rock, the rock of all rocks, okay? The rock of, well, we can call it the rock of our salvation. We know that it represents God and God's house and God's structure. The real God, the only God, okay? The remembering. Why is it, you and I, it is so easy to remember the bad things? So easy to remember the bad things. It's like we have to actually think about the good things. But man, the bad things, it's like we almost don't even have to try to think or fish them out. It's like they're right there. And we dwell on these things. We talked about a little bit about that some weeks ago, about making them prisoners, according to the teaching of Scripture. It's so easy to just, you know, remember the bad things. Oh, this is what happened to me. This is where I was mistreated. This is where I was abused. This is where I was victimized. This is where someone mistreated me. This one where talked to me poorly. This one is where I didn't get treated like the rest of the people. And this one, and and it's like we just start carrying this stuff around with us. It's like they are these little stones of pagan worship. And you and I need to remember who God is and take the rock and set it on top of the other stones where we can rest our head and we can find peace and we can sleep well and we can have hope because it is the rock of ages, the rock of salvation, the rock that is our refuge, the God, our rock. A remembrance of who He is that we would not forget. We would not give in to the cravings. Now, when I talk about the cravings of all these other little thoughts and these things that we always think, the negative stuff, and we dwell on this is what happened to me, so this is how I'm going to live now, and this is how I'm not going to get close to people, and this is how I'm going to, you know, be reserved, and I'm going to, you know, we do all this. He has been your God. He has seen you through it. You've taken it on the chin a few times. Well, hello. But it's not that He hasn't been faithful. You're still here to talk about it. You're still here to remember how He brought you through. What about looking back and remembering what God has done? Remembering that He has all power. He has all authority. Sickness has to bow before Him. Sickness has to bow before His Lordship. Jesus healed. Sin has to bow before Him. God, our rock, in whom we build our house on, not on the sand, the rock above all rocks. It's not supposed to get buried somehow by all these little stones and fragments of our past. He's our rock. He's my God. I've made some journeys through some valleys and over some mountains, through some dark places, some places maybe of famine. These places you and I have traveled in our life, spiritually and maybe emotionally, physically. But God has brought you back, and you are in El Bethel's house today, this place. Come back every week and causes us to remember, because all week long it's like there's being stones being thrown at us. right? Of some other God and some other culture and some other way of life. We come back. And says, I'm passing back through here. Ah, yes. There's the rock. There's the stone above all stones. He has been faithful. He has watched over. He has cared for me. We get our eyes off him. It says they stopped singing his praises. It didn't mean they stopped singing. They just stopped singing him, his praises. They started looking at stuff. Woe are we, and it's so bad. It's like they started singing the blues. That's what they did. They started singing the blues. And now I learned something recently. I think it's time that the church starts to sing the good news blues. The good news blues. About who you are and where you came from. I'll tell you what. If James Abbott and Shane were here this morning, I'd have them get up here and do a little Oh, James is here. Shane's not here, huh? Can you do that, James? Dun 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 dun. That little chin chin chin. Dun 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 dun. Come on, come on. Help me out. Yeah, right now. Help me. I mean, I am going way outside my gifting here. I'm telling you right now. I am way. Shh, girl. Shh. You, daddy, make a fool of yourself. That dun 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 dun, you know, a little bluesy. I mean, I do. Shane was here. He'd like, you know, put a little Louisiana rain on top of that. You know what I mean? Yeah, he would. A little bluesy. Yeah. See, this is the moment. I'll just tell you, this is the moment where I need to be a black preacher. Because it's a good news, but I'm serious. Because it starts out a little like, you know, I don't know, they call me the preacher, right? You get a little bit, you know. Now, forgive me, I'm white. You know, but it's a little bit of, you know, so what? Yeah, easy to you to say in the pew, you know, they call me the preacher. Ooh, that's good. You're not white. But once I was a boy, my mama brought me to church. It was a revival. I said revival. 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 Listen, I feel a little lonely up here. Diane, come on. Rita, come here, hon. Yeah, come on. Shirley, don't sit still. I need you, baby. Girls, come on up here. I feel a little lonely. Come up here. Come on. Come on up here. In fact, come on over here. Yeah. Now listen. Forget they're white. Bless me.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for coming up here, by the way. I sure hope you come back. You know what? I should give you names. This is a real old one in the blues. Now, you tell me if you actually knew who this was. Ma Rainey. You ever hear her? Well, she started in the 1800s. Yeah. Well, that's a little too old. Okay. Bessie Smith. You ever hear her? You heard about, oh, she was old too, though. She started in like early or late 1800s too. Bessie Smith. But you probably know who Aretha is. Who wants to be Aretha? Yeah, you're both part. Hey! Aretha right here! We got to go a little more. Well, this is still an old one, but who'd like to be, hey, how about this? Billie Holiday. Who wants to be Billie? Well, you got your choice. Sarah Vaughn. Okay, all right. We're in church. Anything can happen. You like Billy, or do you like Gladys Knight? Yeah, okay. You have permission from me. Please, do not be white. Not that I expect a whole lot, you know, but you can kind of get whatever. And you don't have to be all choreographed like the Pointer Sisters or anything like that. So, okay. But have a little, you know, please, please. One of the gifts that we all bring culture with us, and this is a side note. But one of the gifts that you bring is flavor to this place. I mean that. I mean that. My wife and I, we love you. Don't get wrong. But we miss. Because we've been in a place where it's multicultural. And the benefit that comes to get, I mean, I'll tell you what, I got a little stirred up about this actually yesterday. I was speaking. I had to do a session at a inner city retreat for their leadership. Some came from Chicago, some came from the Twin Cities. They meet halfway in the multicultural area of Toma. And I walked in, and I think counting me, two of the leaders were, there was five white people. I felt at home. They remembered me from last year, and I mean, it was hugs, and it was laughing, and it was, I mean, I just found myself beginning to talk different. And we bring gifts to one another. Listen, your background, your history. Okay, because it's not about color. It's about how God created people and the cultures and the benefit and the unity that comes through faith. James, you're doing good. I mean, you tell Shane I missed him today. Pastor needed some Louisiana rain on the drum. What do they call that? That thing looks like a little bristle and brush. Is that, you know, what do they call that? A what? Brush. Do you guys, can one of you white guys do this? Can you just do a little step? Huh? Can you hear me? A little step. I hear it. I mean, I can hear it. I can't do it. I mean, can you guys can hear this. You probably just walk around and hear it. Just a little, yeah? You doing good? Oh! Thank you, Luther Vandross! So they call me the preacher. But once I was just a child. What did I say after that? My mama brought me to church? Yeah. This is not, by the way, this doesn't all have to rhyme, does it? I mean, that's white people stuff, right? Good. Yeah. I mean, you need to at least sway and, whatever it is, you know. Just, you know. Woo! El Bethel, huh? Oh, yeah, the revival. She brought me to a revival. Revival! A revival! You white people, unfold your arms. Stop it, Mike. Jonathan, smack him on the back of the head. She brought me to a revival. And that's what the church needs today again. A revival. Right? We got to remember where we came from. Woo! At that revival, God's grace came on me. Oh! Was it sweet? Yeah, oh, that's good. Oh, we need like a microphone for you. Somebody hold this. God's grace came on me. It was sweet. Love.
God's Israel or a man that any of you women could ever meet. Now that's good. His birthday, it came on me. It lifted me up. Higher. I said higher. Higher. Higher than any high. I remember. And that night, the Holy Ghost came on me. I said the Holy Ghost. Just like the Bible said. He came on me. I spoke in tongues. I was filled with His glory. He removed sin's curse. And He opened heaven's purse. Oh! If my back was better, I'd be blown. How am I doing? Kevin, am I coming along? I mean it. Come on. They're singing, Lord, been so good. You need to join them. Been so good. Yeah. He opened heaven's purse. And His riches came on me. His provision. Now I'm starting to wrap this up. So get ready. And I've been saved for about 40 years. Woo! I remember that place. I've been saved for about 40 plus years. Come on. Now let this be God's house. Do you remember what He's brought you through? Then praise Him. He's been so good. He's been so good. He's been so good. Remember. Remember Him. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. Yeah! Praise the Lord! Woo!
Hallelujah!
Yes!
Hallelujah! Let's praise Him! God is good!
He's good!
He's brought us from a mighty long way!
We remember You! Yeah!
Hallelujah!
You are
there
good!
There is none like Him!
This is Your house!
Jesus is Lord!
Help us there!
Jesus
is Your
Lord!
House.
And
this
He
is Your house!
Place.
You are the rock.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord Almighty.
Yes.
Praise Him. Because He's worthy. He's worthy.
Yes.
Praise the Lord on today.
Yes.
There is none like Him. You can search
yes.
the entire
He's
earth.
He's a rock.
And you will find none
He's
like
a rock.
Jesus.
He's
been
a rock.
Good to me. He's been good to you. He's been good to you. He's been good to you. Hallelujah.
Come on.
He deserves it.
Yes.
He deserves it.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We remember You. Your grace.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank
Help
You.
Us now.
We praise You in this
is your
place,
house.
Jesus.
This
you
is your
reign.
House.
You reign. Even when we don't understand,
yes.
You reign. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. There
Woo.
Is none like Him.
He done
there is none like Him.
We
even in the midnight
you.
Hour. Even in the
we
midnight hour.
You.
He's with you. Even when you think you're alone, Jesus is with you. When you think that nobody cares, Jesus is with you. When you think your children left you, Jesus is with you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the ends of all time. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Praise the name of Jesus on today. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You are my God.
Hallelujah.
You are my God.
Hallelujah.
You are my God.
Thank
you are my
Lord.
Strong tower.
Thank you, Lord. Woo. We love him on today. We love him on today. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Woo.
God has brought each and every one of you a mighty, mighty long way. We cannot sit down on our praises.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you don't understand this, it's okay. But God commands the praises of his people.
Woo.
Because if we don't praise him,
we will not forget.
Then the rocks are going to cry out. I don't
know
about
forget.
You, but I don't hear rocks
forget.
Talking. Can you hear a rock talk? I can't. I don't want no rock to take my place. God has been good to me.
Yes.
And the least I could do is when I come in this place to be ready to praise the name of Jesus. Despite of what I go through.
That's right.
Despite of what it may seem like.
That's it, Richard.
You still got to give God his praise.
That's right.
He deserves it.
Right.
He inhabits the praises of his people. And you know what? When you begin to praise the Lord, it confuses the enemy. It confuses the devil. Because he's looking at you like, why are you praising him? Because I put sickness on your body. Why are you praising him? I got your children on drugs. Why are you praising him?
That's right.
You don't have no money in your bank account. Why are you praising him? And you said, I'm going to praise him because I see it through the eyes of faith. And I believe in God for deliverance. I believe in God for breakthrough. And it is here. It is now. So praise him.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Bethel, God's house. You come here and you remember. We will not forget. We will not forget. What's your name? How long you been saved? What's your name? How long you been saved? What he saved you from, what's he going to see you through? Because he never changes. I want you to bow your head all over this room. You're here this morning, and you are in the thick middle of something. You are in the thick middle of something. Or you're somewhere between the middle and getting out. Maybe it's been worse. Maybe it's getting a little better. But you still feel the vines entangling your ankles. And he wants to bring you out of the thicket. Because you are not the sacrifice. That's right. Jesus is. If you are in the thick middle of something, I just want you to put your hand up. Keep your head bowed, your eyes closed, however you want. Keep your eyes, put your hand up. Maybe it's personal sin. Maybe it's a struggle, an inward struggle. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's just getting free, really, I mean really free from your past. You're mostly free and you function better, so you think it's good. He wants you all the way out. If you're in something, get your hand up.
I want to pray with you before we leave. Father, you are their God. And these are your people. They remember you today. They remember you. See them through. Provide for them. We don't need some other God for false provision. You are our God, and you will provide for their journey, our journey through life. Bring them out. And may they remember and speak and sing of your praise. To the next generation. So bring healing. Bring wisdom. Bring strength that is not their own. So move by your grace. By your mercy. By the righteousness of Jesus, because we have none. And may this always, when we get together, wherever it's at, may it always be a Bethel where you will be revealing yourself to us. In Jesus' name. The church said,
thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.